Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing the Morbius trailer, as well as your feedback.
All that right after this ad that we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
As we do every week, what do we have on the five-star review docket, my friend?
Got Drew Youngblood saying, best MCU podcast. In the months leading up to Endgame, I went through many MCU pods, and this is the only one I continue to listen to today. The variety of topics covered coupled with the knowledge base of both hosts really makes this an enjoyable pod. Keep up the good work. It is truly appreciated. Excelsior!
Thank you, Drew Youngblood. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the five-star review. We also, as we've been doing these last few weeks, are going to do a giveaway for a free MCU t-shirt. We got a five-star review over on the Star Trek Universe podcast from Amazer AM. They say, great network. A friend of the best podcast, MCU Cast, is a podcast of mine, which I really enjoyed. Thank you for that. So Amazer AM, if that is you, email us at mcucast@gmail.com and we will send you a t-shirt. Just send us your info. Cool. And we're doing that again this week. We're going to be giving another t-shirt away next week. Anyone who will, even if you've already done it, go to Star Trek Universe Podcast on Apple and give us a five-star review. And we'll be giving another shirt away next week. All right, that's all the business. Let's talk about Morbius.
Okay. Jared Leto.
Jared Leto, man.
Jared Leto.
What do you think of Jared Leto? What's your thoughts?
Jared Leto has no business looking as good as he does today, being the age that he is. He might actually be a vampire.
How old is Jared Leto? I'm looking. 48. Wow.
Right?
Wow, he might be a vampire. You're onto something.
He might be a real vampire.
Dude, yeah. That's crazy. I did not know that at all. I thought he was younger.
Yeah, he looks like a 30-year-old man.
He really does. That's crazy. And he looked great in this trailer.
He looks the same as he did in Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, he really does. Man, what's your deal? What's your secret, Jared Leto? Teach me the ways of the Leto.
Vampirism.
Yeah, that's crazy. Good call. I guess I'd forgotten that was him in that movie, Requiem for a Dream. That's nuts.
The blonde guy in Fight Club, like, he looks exactly like that.
Yeah, he hasn't aged. I think people in Hollywood have just found secrets to, like, looking forever young. And I mean, you know, it's probably like, you know,
money.
Yeah, it is money for sure. But it's probably all kinds of things they're doing to themselves. But like, yeah. Money. It is funny. Like, never mind. I'm not going to say it. I can talk about it. Yeah, it's funny how much money can make you look better. It'll make you more stereotypically attractive. It is. It's funny. I deal with it a lot because I'm always like, I'm working weddings. And so I work these high dollar weddings with my wedding band. And we walk in and like the really high dollar ones, they come in and every man and woman on the stage that's in the wedding party is like super attractive. It's like a whole group of models. And I'm like, oh, right, money. It's like when you don't have to worry about making ends meet, you can spend a lot more time and money on yourself, making yourself look good. Cool. That's great to know.
I'd like to get there someday.
Me too. Be nice. All right. So let's talk about Morbius. I don't know what we're doing.
Vampirism. We're talking vampirism.
We are talking vampirism. Money is the real vampirism. Ooh, that's not a not
money's a bad, the real vampire. Yeah,
it's not a bad little call there. That's not a bad like connection to make.
I'm glad we got there. So this is a Sony movie. Like we need to say that way out in front. This is a Sony Pictures movie.
It's true.
This is not a Marvel Studios film. Mm-hmm. This is a Sony movie, and I feel like they're kind of, I don't know, they're using that association with Marvel to try to sell this movie.
Absolutely.
By saying, like, this is from the studio that brought you Spider-Man Homecoming and Spider-Man Far From Home and Venom, and I'm like, no, you brought us Venom, Marvel Cinematic, or the Marvel studios people, they brought us Spider-Man.
I don't think that's true, though. They were creative consultants, but Sony Pictures still released. Sony Pictures still made it? both those movies.
I mean, Sony financed it, but Marvel had the creative control.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what makes me say that they didn't bring us that movie. I mean, yeah, maybe they like physically brought it from one place to another. You know, they took it from Marvel and gave it to the theaters to produce or to like the show, but they didn't make it, you know? And I feel like there's a distinction that needs to be made. This is Sony riding the coattails of what Marvel has done for them.
I agree. I completely agree. This is clearly them trying to get on board, which they have done with mixed success. I mean, clearly the Spider-Man movies have been great because they gave them creative control, and Venom was not great, just kind of okay. I am worried that this won't be as good, but I feel like we have to talk about it because it is clearly connected to those Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, well, it's got Michael Keaton in it.
Yep, Michael Keaton as the Vulture, we're assuming.
We're left to assume that, but his name is never said.
It's true. I'm assuming he's the Vulture, though. It looked like he was in a jumpsuit, like a prison jumpsuit, even.
We'll get to that. That's the tag at the end of the trailer.
Yes. I think that it looks... Overall, this movie looks interesting. If it were not connected, would I watch this movie? I don't know. It does look good. It looks well done. It looks like the character of Morbius seems to have a lot of pathos. The origin they're working with.
Yeah, we see his fall from grace, you know? Being a doctor helping people, trying to cure himself, you know, as is many doctor tales in movies. He's trying to cure his own rare blood disorder that he says he has.
Well, they also show him caring for others with the same blood disorder, and he's like, the reason I'm still here is to solve this for everyone, kind of thing. So there's also, they give him a save the cat moment right there in the trailer where he's like working with young children who need the same cure.
Yep. And it looks like they're just okay. This is a slight bit of comics knowledge coming out. I'm not incredibly familiar with Morbius the Living Vampire, but he is one of Spider-Man's rogues gallery, originally, you know, just being a horror genre type villain that eventually did the same thing that Venom does, where he eventually becomes an anti-hero and, you know, goes to sort of be on the side of good, kind of, right, for the most part. And it seems that that's what they're doing here. That's the same thing that they did with Venom, is where they just jump straight to that, where... he doesn't like have his fall from grace and then just go straight to being a bad guy. He, you know, gets this thing and wants to do good with it, maybe, because it seems like he's trying to track it and you know, describe his symptoms, quote unquote, and the changes that are in him, and in doing so, you know, maybe goes further into it. I don't know. I don't know everything about it. The movie's not out yet, but it seems like they're doing that sort of thing. That's what I'm gleaning from it.
Yeah. I watched a few videos this week on Morbius just to try to familiarize myself with the comics. And apparently the writers in the original run, like where he's just the bad guy for Spider-Man, they apparently still tried to write him in a way that gave him a lot, as I said before, pathos. Like they gave him sort of like this sort of tragic, he's always been a tragic figure. Who sort of had this thrust upon him. Like, you know, he's never been a just sort of mustache twirling villain, I guess, is the way they put it. You know, that he's always had sort of this tragic background that caused him. He was like a good doctor who ended up going bad instead of just like, you know, whatever, you know, he's not just a bad guy, I guess.
Yeah. He originally came out in the 70s, and Marvel was all about tragic characters having, you know, super angsty backstories at that point.
Yeah. So there's like multiple shots in this trailer where he's like huddled over someone. There's a shot where there's like an orderly running from something, and then it shows him on the ground coming up. And then there's another shot in another part of the trailer where he's like over someone's body screaming like he's in pain or like he regrets something almost. And like, I wonder if they're going to go with like, he's so hungry for blood that he like...
He just can't stop himself.
Yeah, like he actually does the full vampire turn. Like, it seems like maybe they will let him go there, but I'm not sure. Will they let him like kill some innocents at a point in this movie?
Kill innocent people. That's the thing is, like, he can be all super vampiric when he's fighting against people who are, you know, like trying to use his powers for bad or trying to capture him to study him or whatever. But if he kills innocent people and consumes their, not flesh, because that's venom, consumes their blood, is that okay?
Oh, I mean, is obviously it okay not. Is one thing. Clearly not, but like, it's also would be...
Are they going to let it go that far?
Yeah, are they going to let him get there? Because I think in the comics, he does get there, and then he kind of comes back from that. And I don't know. It looks like maybe they will, because they have this whole conversations about him and his, like, looks like his mentor, maybe, have conversations about what, you know, what makes... how far is it okay to go to find the cure? And his mentor, who looks like double his age, but is probably like a couple years older than Jared Leto. it's crazy that Jared Leto is 48. I can't believe that.
You're talking about Jared Harris there.
Yeah. How old is Jared Harris?
He was born in 61.
Really curious. Oh wait, 61. So that would be 60, ish.
I would be 59.
He's 58. He's 58. Jared Leto is 48. Like barely older than I mean, 10 years. 10 years is 10 years nothing older. To sneeze at. Okay, but yeah, I'd be interested to see if they let him go that far. I think that would make for a more interesting character, although it would make him harder to root for. But maybe the hunger's so strong. It's just the classic vampire story, you know? Yeah. Hunger's so strong, but it's also this classic Venom story, too. Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of parallels here, so.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm worried about, is that they're going to be leaning so hard on those parallels that they're not going to tell a good story.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the MCU of it all, because that's really why we're here. That's why we're doing this. Spider-Man is featured in the trailer.
Well,
with the words murderer across his... I mean, he is.
He is,
I know there's a lot of tricky things, but there is a Spider-Man in this trailer with murderer scrawled across his chest in the on the wall.
But if you look at it, the Spider-Man that's featured there is the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man suit.
Yes, that is true.
And it's not our Tom Holland suit. But, I mean, murderer being scrawled on it is like a direct callback to the very end of Far From Home, where...
Spider-Man's framed for the murder of Mysterio.
Yes, J. Jonah Jameson, J.K. Simmons, is putting Peter in a bad light, we'll say.
Yeah, so I think we're supposed to believe that, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know why they used the wrong Spider-Man. I don't know if that's a rights thing. I don't know if, like, Marvel Studios can only use the Spider-Man with that suit. I just don't know. That's weird, right?
It is weird.
Real weird. So that's strange, but I still think we have to assume it's part of the Tom Holland's universe. Maybe not, though. Maybe you're right. Maybe all of this is happening. Venom and Morbius. I actually would kind of love it if we get like an adult Tobey Maguire Spider-Man just like all of a sudden pops out. and then it turns out
he's been Spider-Man for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And then
like he's the pudgy Spider-Man from Into the Spider-Verse.
That would be so good. It would be so good, right? Like if they
it
just
would be so good.
What if Sony after say the Marvel deal falls apart or whatever, then they just straight up make Into the Spider-Verse and like our Spider-Man ends up going into the Spider-Verse where he meets, you know, whatever, all these other Spider-Men. And of course, it'd be great if Miles was there. Or Miles is the main character of an Into the Spider-Verse movie in the actual Sony movies. Like, it'd be real neat. I'd be down.
That would be... Oh, man. I would like them to bring this into the Spider-Verse and have, like, the live action with the CG, the animated stuff, like, have that interact together. Sort of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, except... Who Framed Peter Parker? Who Framed Peter Parker?
Oh,
Matt, it would be so good.
Yes, please make a Who Framed Peter Parker movie. That sounds amazing.
Oh, that would be so good. Okay, I'm all right. I'm good.
No, that's a great idea. Oh man, like what if they did that with the Spider-Verse, like Into the Spider-Verse, the Into the Spider-Verse, like being made by Sony, has nothing to do with Marvel. What if they did Who Framed Peter Parker, and like it's the all the characters we know from the Spider-Verse jumping over to one of the previous Sony universes, either the Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, or both, and like mixing those all together, and then maybe Tom Holland jumps in too, but like just all the stuff that Sony owns gets like yes. jumbled together, and it's called Who Framed Peter Parker.
Oh, it'd be so
good. Real good. It's a real good idea. Love it. Okay. And then the other big connection in this trailer is clearly Mr. Adrian Toomes, we're assuming, shows up.
We're assuming.
I think we have to assume.
Yeah. I don't think we have to. I think that we're being led to assume by Sony, because I don't trust Sony, damn it. They didn't make a good Venom movie. I'm sorry. They didn't make an awesome Venom movie the way that Marvel made awesome Spider-Man movies. And I feel that Morbius is interesting because of his connection to Spider-Man, and his, you know, he goes into darkness and then is brought back out of it. It's less about Spider-Man with him than it is like Venom to Spider-Man. But it's still like, this is a character that was brought out because of his connection with Spider-Man.
Yes, but a lot less so. I don't feel like there's anything in the Morbius story that like, is he with Venom? It's like, parts of the way his suit look are because of Spider-Man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
right.
He is Venom. Who he is as a character is sort of imprinted on by Spider-Man, and the right. way he moves and all this stuff, like the way he web swings and stuff, like that all seems to like come from the times he was with Spider-Man. And like, Morbius doesn't have that. And so I'm not as upset about this being a separate movie, but I do, it's tough because they're making all these movies. Sony's making all these movies about villains, and they're not letting them be villains first. And so it makes the anti-hero part of it. It's like when you have a team up movie, right? There's almost always one guy with a dark checkered past. It's like when you watch the X-Men, it's always Wolverine, you know, he's the guy that's kind of gruff. And then you got all these goody goodies. And I don't know that we've ever seen it done well where there's just a bunch of anti-heroes put together. Like, why would they even work together? I don't know. It just seems weird.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like we're going for anti-hero here, but then at the end, it looks like Adrian Toomes wants to recruit him. And, you know, that's obvious call to the Sinister Six, which would be a great thing to do in, you know, in film form for Spider-Man. But I don't think that what they're trying to show us Morbius is, and Morbius being that bad, are the same thing.
Right. Or even Adrian Toomes, who, while yeah. he's a real scary guy in the Homecoming movie, he's also like makes the decision in the end to save Peter, like not to rat him out to Scorpion or whatever. And so, like, I don't know. It does. It feels like I don't know how we'd get a Sinister Six movie, especially a Sinister Six movie with the motivation they have in the comic books to kill Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a Sinister Six that comes together to do something different that then like Spider-Man needs to stop them or whatever. Maybe Toomes convinces Morbius to work with him for whatever reason. I don't know, man. This is the problem. So like when I watch a Marvel movie and there's this big confusing thing where I'm like, I don't know what they're doing here. It excites me. Because Sony has not earned my trust, it just makes me nervous that they're going to get their chocolate in my peanut butter and like kind of mess with
kind of ruin it.
Yeah, they're going to mess with the MCU in a way that like, well, these movies are clearly connected to the MCU, but man, these movies suck, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of the same way that Inhumans was just not so great and sort of seemed to taint the name.
All right, so let's not... Venom's not great, but it's not Inhumans bad. So let's not go overboard here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, we got a few pieces of feedback related to the Morbius trailer, I think.
Yeah, Tyson Trujillo said, so feedback from the Morbius trailer. It almost seems like the Vulture is going to be the Nick Fury for the Sinister Six. Seems promising since he was Tom's first real villain. What do you guys think? Venom, Spidey, team up against Sinister Six?
I I guess, but where does Morbius fall in all of this? We just talked about it, but yeah, like, I think he's right. I think that's what they're trying to do here is have him be the Tony Stark of it all. But as much as I love Michael Keaton as Adrian Toomes, I don't know that the world is going to respond to a Adrian Toomes one or like a Michael Keaton walking around building a Sinister Six like they did to Nick Fury. Or Tony Stark, you know, like that's just not the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a connection. They're drawing connections and I don't know what their plans are. I just don't know what their plans are.
Yeah. It probably would not be great for him to be building a Sinister Six right at the same time that everybody's expecting Thunderbolts or Norman Osborn and Dark Reign.
Yeah.
And Dark Avengers like that. Like it would be like, oh, look, Sony's doing the exact same thing.
And they're saying it's all connected I don't know. I don't trust Sony, and it just seems like I just wish they could get together on their shit. Like, I don't mind if Sony was doing this if I thought they were doing it fully with Marvel's blessing and like that it was part of the overall plan. But we just seen some like sort of like interactions between like Kevin Feige and some of the Sony execs where they seem to have different ideas of the future. And it seems like they made a great deal to make the story of the Infinity Saga finish properly with Spider-Man. But man, at what cost, you know,
at what cost,
when is the cure stop being worth it? You know?
Yeah. You know, what would be better is if Morbius, was walking, you know, he's walking past Adrian Toomes, like, hey, what's up, doc? And like, wants to try to get him to join. And he's just like, piss off and leaves and doesn't get recruited. But then we see Morbius later encounter Blade. Mahershala Ali as Blade with this Jared Leto Morbius I think that would be a much better pairing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and they're building, like, if they're doing a Blade, but that's MCU though, right? That's full studios. So yeah, I just don't know, man. Like, I feel like if you're going to have Morbius in this universe, crossing them over with Blade is like has to happen. But like,
it has to.
If Sony's doing their weird thing and Marvel doesn't really care, then I just don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah. I'm worried about the future.
You know, I was looking at the IMDb list because I had seen Tyrese Gibson in the trailer and was like, who is this guy? It looks like Tyrese Gibson is playing Simon Stroud. And the character Simon Stroud is from comics, but he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Huh. Interesting.
And you see Tyrese Gibson in this trailer at one point. It looks like he's in a forest, but he's got a bunch of like tech type things on his arm.
Huh. Interesting.
So it's like he's enhanced, so to speak.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, I just don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's like they're taking it too far. And I'm like, you're doing too many things at once, Sony. Like this has always been Sony's problem. Is that they're like, oh, that first one was good. Let's do all of it. Let's completely open the floodgate and just let it all happen. Because I mean, they also got Matt Smith in there, he's portraying Loxias Crown, who is Hunger, who is a vampire, sort of.
Okay. See, I didn't know who he was playing. So that's neat.
Yeah, he's a vampiric being. Who just kind of gives in to the bloodlust. Like, it was experiments that Morbius did on himself that he also, you know, kind of had benefit from. I don't remember if he necessarily took part in it, but, you know, the same sort of thing that made Morbius made him.
Okay.
And he's, you know, he's also fought Spider-Man, he's fought Morbius himself. So, you know, it just seems that they're going, you know, full bore with this. And then Adrian Toomes in there too, and then maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. Stop, slow down.
Yeah, build a thing we like and then try to build a universe around it, you know? But which, you know, to be fair, like Hunger could just be the bad guy for this movie. Like, it may not be that they're trying to build a big thing. It seems like the only real connection that we know is them trying to build the world is Adrian Toomes, which I actually think it's a mistake to even put that in the trailer. Like, if I'd gone to see Morbius, now that I know he's there, I'm like kind of worried about Morbius. Like, I'm worried about the connections it's going to have and what it's going to do for the timeline. If I had gone into theaters and just watched Morbius, you could
have just enjoyed it.
And then I saw Adrian Toomes, I would have flipped out and been like, oh my gosh, it's Adrian Toomes. He's there. Now what does it mean? You know, like that. That we didn't know Nick Fury was going to be at the end of Iron Man 1. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we didn't... Well, actually, I take that back. I was about to say we didn't know that Tony Stark was going to be in Hulk, but we did, actually. They released an ad the week that Hulk came out. They were like, hey, you know how much you liked Iron Man? Guess where he is? He's in this movie, too.
I don't remember that.
Oh, maybe I didn't. Maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm making that up. I thought they had it in an ad, but maybe it's just... Maybe it was just word of mouth. I don't know.
It's very, very possible. I didn't actually see the original... The Incredible Hulk, when it originally came out in theaters, I think I pirated it and watched it then and was like, okay, this is good enough for me to go see. Because, you know, it was all right. It wasn't the worst movie ever, but it wasn't great. I was like, okay, I can go see this. And then I actually went to go see it in theaters. But I had to vet it first because, you know, I got hurt by Eric Bana Hulk.
Well, it's exactly what we're talking about with the Sony stuff. It's like, we've been hurt before, Sony.
Recently.
We trust Marvel Studios because they've given us so many good things, but don't just trust everybody. But the real problem with all of this is that most people don't follow this stuff like we follow this on this podcast. And so there's going to be a lot of people out there who see Adrian Toomes and see the thing where it says made by the people who made Far From Home, and they go, yeah, it's all in the same universe. It must all be the same people. And then they start making these sort of watered down movies that suddenly everybody starts to see the Marvel name and go, well, those last three Marvel movies weren't very good. Even if Marvel Studios keeps killing it, they might be going like, yeah, but those last few that, you know, Spider-Man was in weren't very good. So maybe I won't go see Black Widow or whatever. I won't go see Eternals or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to go watch Black Panther 2. Because, yeah, anything like that.
Yeah, because Doctor Strange. Venom 2 was bad, so I don't want to go see Doctor Strange. It's like, you're kind of watering down your brand.
Yeah, and, you know, if Marvel's killing it and then releases X-Men movies, you know, that's kind of a new franchise. I mean, it's still, you know, it would be in the same verse, but it would be a new franchise, right? So, you know, the people might be put off by new franchise. You know, Marvel should stick with what they've already got. And I don't know. It's like you said, it's troublesome having somebody that doesn't have our trust try to use our trust in another studio to bring us into this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Adrian Sparks says, we've already kind of touched on a lot of this, but Morbius trailer looks really good. Plus shocking connections. I would be overjoyed if Blade appeared in the end credits. Yeah, that's exactly what Jeff said. Yeah, I think that Blade would be a perfect fit. For this,
I think really. Blade would be a better fit because then Blade has that moral quandary of like, how far is too far for this guy to go before I have to put him down?
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that sounds like something that they'd obviously, that sounds like Daredevil versus Punisher, and that's right? The exact conversation they would be having. And it's like, that's the one thing I miss with these movies is they often don't take the time to have those ethical discussions that I feel like are so. Where I want I want that to be where things rest. You know, I want to talk about those things, and you know, we don't get that.
We're not allowed to have that.
We're not. Why can't we have nice things, Jeff?
We can't have nice things.
I'm just kidding. We got Avengers Endgame this year. Like yeah, what am I complaining about?
What do you mean this year?
Oh yeah, it is a new year. Sorry,
it is 2020.
Which, speaking of, Jonathan Kim sent us a thing saying, really? One nomination? Shakes my head. Talking about the Oscars nominated Avengers for visual effects and nothing else. What are your thoughts?
As much as I like Endgame, as much as I am such a fan of this verse, I know that the Oscars are all about campaign money and or like campaigning for it, as well as doing artsy-fartsy things rather than... Like, they don't like the big cinematic adventure that we've had. You know, they like Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. So what you're saying is it's bullshit, but the Oscars are always bullshit, so what does it matter?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do think that Endgame is an amazing feat, and by snubbing it, it's kind of like, yeah, you're really, like, shooting yourself in the foot because this is not just a bubblegum pop, you know... kids movie. This is a really well done piece of art, and I think it probably deserves a little more. But I also understand that probably most of the Oscar voters haven't seen all the movies leading up, so maybe they didn't even understand it.
Well, that's the thing though, is Endgame is really, like, if you step back and look at it as just the film by itself, without all of the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe leading up to this, you have no clue what's going on. None of it makes any sense.
Yeah. But I mean, the Oscars gave Lord of the Rings 3 all the Oscars because it was sort of like an acknowledgement of the feat that they had accomplished with all three of them. Like, the third one wasn't the best one. It was just that, like, you know, you did the third one, so they gave him like so many Oscars, and it was kind of like acknowledging this crazy feat that they had. And yeah, I feel like Endgame is even bigger than that, and like a it much is. Bigger feat. Like, not just three movies with crazy effects and crazy new kinds of storytelling, but like 23, is that right? Am I right?
It was the 22nd movie.
22nd, yeah. So I just feel like they could have done it. I feel like they should have given him something, but That's me and my little soapbox.
Yep. The Oscars are bullshit. They've always been bullshit.
You're right. Good point. What's Nathaniel Muzzy got to say?
Nathaniel Muzzy says, assuming no major scandals, etc., when it's all said and done, will Kevin Feige be considered the most influential person in movies of our generation?
I think he will be. Unfortunately, I think he won't be credited for the great stuff he did, because if you listen to most movie bloggers and movie talkers, just like we're talking about the Oscars, like they rag on Marvel movies because they're all connected. Like they get really mad about Marvel movies as if there's no substance there. And like, the problem is most people, like, I think the ongoing effect that Kevin Feige's like going to have on the world and has already had is that everyone wants a universe now. A movie is not big enough anymore. Everyone wants to build a universe. Yep. And the problem is no one is doing it right. Kevin Feige did it well, and everyone else is like, hey, I can do that. We can make movies that connect. And like, no, you got to really take care to build the characters. And just like we're talking about with Sony, So I fear that in 20 years, we're going to look back and see a bunch of horrible franchises littering the highway, and everyone goes, this is Marvel's fault. You know, Marvel started
this.
You did
this to us.
Marvel started this, made all the money, and now everybody wants some of that money, but that's not Marvel's fault. Marvel made all the money because they made great movies, you know? Like,
yep.
It makes me mad that like the industry doesn't understand that like Marvel's popular not just because it's connected. It's popular because they make good movies. And a lot of the industry gets mad at it and doesn't acknowledge the work they've done.
I mean, it took 5 movies before. Like, they made 5 movies before they went to the 6th one to let everybody play together. Like, yeah, we saw, like, hints. We had cameos of people in the various movies leading up to it. Like, you know, we got RDJ coming into The Incredible Hulk right at the end of it. But, like, they weren't really in the same movie.
Yeah.
You know? And for sure. It took them 6 movies to get there. It took a minute.
Yeah. There was five great movies. Well, okay, 5 movies and like 3 great ones. And it was like, you know, I'm just teasing. No, probably 4 great movies in that first run. And it's like, that's how you build a universe. You build good single stories and you take care with all of your stories and you have a plan. They've always talked about how they have like plans for the next like 15 years or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And now they're getting all these rights back. I just can't wait to see what they do with it. It's just, I see them poisoning the well a little bit though with like all the Sony stuff, and it makes me worried.
Yeah, well, that's Sony's fault. Yeah, really, it's just that Marvel needs to buy back the rights to Spider-Man. And if Sony doesn't want to do that, then they just need to buy Sony.
Yeah.
Disney needs to just buy the Sony Pictures division. And do it better.
As a man who believes in competition, I don't know, man. I worry about Disney owning all of it. But I just want them to own all of Marvel. I don't want them to own all of movies. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just wish that Marvel hadn't sold the rights off in such a crazy way. But I also know that Marvel was about to go bankrupt if they didn't do that.
They did go bankrupt.
Right. I guess I mean like they were about to shut down if they didn't.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy doesn't really mean what
they were like, we'll sell these rights off to make these movies, and when people make these movies, it'll bring the viewers over to buy comic books.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
That was the plan.
Great plan, guys.
That is not what they did. Okay.
All right, so next up, Ashley Coffin said, I'm behind on the scary moments convo. Did anyone say in Spider-Man Homecoming when Peter gets buried under all the debris from that building? It's so claustrophobic and you really feel like you're getting buried right there with him.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily like scary, like classic horror.
Yeah, and no, but it's definitely
frightening. Definitely extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's suspenseful. It's, you know, it makes you squirm in your seat like, oh God, being buried alive. It's my worst fear.
Yeah. Well, it's also just, it's a low point for his character in a way that most movies don't let us do anymore. Like they always make your heroes look so cool that you got to have that moment where your hero is actually torn down, you know?
Yep. You got to show that they can fall. Otherwise, nothing matters because they can just blast through it. I was too busy getting all like choked up over that scene being panel for panel from the comics. I was too busy getting all like riled up over that.
I was too, actually. Well, yeah, it's a really amazing scene. Really great.
Yep. So next up, Matthew Turner said, dude, scariest moment in the MCU. I can't believe no one mentioned the driving to the prom scene in the car. When Michael Keaton realizes Peter is Spidey, it is chilling. And so takes meeting your girlfriend's dad to the next level. That I can say, like, I can get fully entirely behind that being like a true horror movie moment, because that's the realization that this guy is the bad guy that you've been fighting against or trying to want to stop, and he realizes that you are his enemy.
Well, it's that the killer is inside the house moment.
Yes. Oh man, it's
so good.
I'm getting squirmy just thinking about it.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with him. I think that is a great horror moment. It's a different kind of horror. It's not like, you know, whatever gross horror or like
it's not gory.
It's not gory, or
it's not the gory horror.
It's not even, but it's like that sort of like home invasion, like real life sort of like horror movie that you get in a lot of times. And that's intense. That's a great call. That's a great call.
That's the suspense horror, I like to call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it like makes you not want to breathe. And I remember being in the theater, not breathing for a good long while they were having their conversation.
Yeah. Simon Potter's up next. Simon Potter is throwing some feedback from an episode from November 2018.
Nice.
I like it.
It's just stumbled back onto the old Marvel for President cast from November 2018. In the intro, you suggest a reverse list consisting of evil characters in power. If this is still on the cards, might I suggest the Punisher as Secretary of Defense or Defense Secretary? I don't know what you call it over the pond. This would be a great addition to Norman Osborn as POTUS.
Man, Frank Castle for Defense Secretary. That's a bad idea. It's a legit bad idea.
Yeah, like that's a really bad idea, and I love it.
Yeah, it's real good. And also, I love the feedback from like a year and a half ago. That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Maybe we should revisit some of our discussions from back then.
Yeah, man, we should do some more episodes like that. I really like just doing like, we've done a lot of that in this little gulf that we've had of content. But I thought we were getting stuff soon, like in January, but we're not getting stuff until May, right? We basically have no more Marvel content until May, right?
Yeah, that's the look of it.
All right. I really thought S.H.I.E.L.D. was coming sooner, but it looks like S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to be the summer.
Yep.
Again. Yep. So, no, that's a bummer. We got 5 more months to fill.
We could have all kinds of crazy podcasts.
Well, the fun thing is, and I say 5 months, it's actually 4 months now. But the fun thing is, we're starting the hype train for all this other stuff, and that's real cool. That's exciting, and like we're doing these trailer breakdowns and stuff. And this is where we get to do some of the cooler stuff. And by the way, I posted it. I'm going to repost it on our Patreon. Our patrons, there's a lot of people on our Patreon who get commission an episode level, and we have a form that they can fill out to commission an episode, but we haven't gotten many of those. So I'm going to post that again on the Patreon, and you guys that have, if you have commissions, get them in, because we would do them. We've got some gaps in time, I think, that we can probably fit in some commissions. So
yeah, it's been a while since we've gotten a commission, and we will do your crazy episode idea.
Because some of you you know, literally pay us extra money so you can get a commission, and we haven't gotten many of those. So I'll put that back on the Patreon this week. By the way, patreon.com/MCUcast, if you want to support the cast, you can get that $3 tier that gives you the commission in an episode. All right, guys. Well, that's all our feedback for today, and we'll be back real soon. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at MCUcast.com, at MCUcast on Twitter, Facebook.com/MCUcast, MCUcast at all the places. Go review the Star Trek Universe Podcast on Apple Podcasts and be entered for a shirt this week. And also be entered for a free video game, the Avengers video game that comes out in May. We're going to give that away to one lucky. That's the big prize. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. yeah, do that, and we'll be back with you very soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.